Well,
good
morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God Chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Pretty Patrice. I am your host for today. And the lineup is as follows. Prayer request first. Brother Dan asks for prayer for all of us on the line for safe travels to church and back. He also wants us to pray for his wife. She's having finals this week. Also, Resilient Rosanna is asking for prayer because she's having finals on Tuesday and Wednesday. Dion asks that we call out Marcus and Lauren. Say their name out loud, that we also call out Gilbert, and we're praying that he would have salvation and that someone in his life will demonstrate the love of Christ. And that's all I have for a prayer request. I would like us also to remember our barbecue is June 13th. $20 for adults, $10 for children. And you can pay on the website. There is an event attachment for that. The lineup also for today, our greeter was Valerie, our host, myself, scripture reader, Tanya Porter, declaration, Lavelle Jones, prayer warrior number one, Sabrina Robertson, I'm sorry, prayer warrior number two, Valerie Simpson, prayer warrior number three, Arlita Renee, Leslie, and closer will be Ravonda Williams. And that is all that I have. I wish you all well, and I pass the call. I love you guys.
Good morning. Today's word will be brought to you by the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called them, he also justified, and whom he justified them, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make an intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake. We are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. May God add a blessing to his already blessed word as I pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. God has yet shown us another expression of his love, another opportunity to be here, and we thank God for that. Thank you for that scripture. That was awesome, one of my favorite scriptures. And then to Pretty Patrice, thank you for greeting us. And Sister Val, thank you for opening up. Let me jump right in. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And if I could give this declaration a topic, I would call it "Seeing Invisible Things." How well we see is a concern that has commanded an inestimable amount of time in our research. Our concern about seeing extends from what I like to call all the way from the ridiculous to the sublime. As I was looking up this scripture and about seeing and how well we see, I noticed that a young man by the name of Randy Wise, who's a graduate of Harvard Business School, organized a company in Massachusetts called Vision Control Incorporated, and he produces contact lenses for chickens. On a chicken farm, chickens tend to be a bit cannibalistic, and in a terrible display of foul play, chickens tend to slay some 10% of their fellow inmates, but when they wear Randy's rose-colored tainted lenses, it reduces their cannibalism some 5%. Obviously, vision control has found itch in a market. But moving from the ridiculous to the sublime, in 1993, the largest telescope in the world was completed in Hawaii, and it has a reflective mirror that stretches some 30 meters across, and when it is trained on the heavens, it can pick up a light as faint as a candle as far away as the moon. And ultimately, this telescope will be able to receive light from 12 billion light years away. Our concern about seeing extends from the ridiculous to the sublime. But in this passage today, it seems Paul picks up this theme of seeing because he talks about seeing from a totally different perspective. Paul talks about seeing things that can't be seen with the eye. Paul talks about seeing invisible things. You know, the world has a model, and a good model it is for the world. And the world's model is seeing is believing. We don't necessarily, as believers, have a model. We have a faith, and our faith says just the reverse of the world's model. The believer's faith says believing is seeing. The world says, if I see it, then I'll believe it, while the believers say, because I believe it, therefore I see it. And according to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What he's saying is you can measure both the authenticity and depth of your faith by the answer to this question. Do visible or invisible things dominate your life? Paul here, in these three little verses, I'm amazed. He literally packs an ocean of truth in these verses. And I just want to spend just a little time doing my feeble best to kind of unpack what he packed in those verses. First of all, I want you to see the renewal of the inward, because if you look at verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Paul is talking about the renewal of the inward. Notice he began giving us this word of encouragement, therefore, we do not lose heart. What he's saying is when we look in the mirror and we see that youth is fleeting and that age is creeping, we don't lose our minds. We don't throw in the towel, and we don't quit like the world who has all of its emphasis on the external and the flesh. When we see that there's a physical metamorphosis taking place and we don't look like we used to look, and we don't fall out on the floor, we don't quit because there's a higher truth where we understand. Though the outer man is perishing and decaying on the outside, the inner man is being renewed day by day. There was a fellow by the name of Bert Weber who had a dream, and Bert Weber discovered some hidden treasures. And in 1979, at the age of 36, this former encyclopedia salesman saw his dream come true. While diving 80 miles off the coast of the Dominican Republic, he found a sunken Spanish galleon, and the ship sank, I believe, in 1641. And when Bert Weber found it that day, he found it that day because the hull of the ship had been disintegrated, and he found aboard that ship some $40 million in gold coins. His dream had come true. But the reason why Bert Weber found it is because he was in the depths of the ocean and the hull had disintegrated, and it allowed the inward treasure to be revealed. Well, what does that have to do with believers? Well, in the seventh verse of that same chapter, it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then in verse 16, he says, the outer man is perishing. So when you put it together, what is he saying? He's saying that when we recognize that our outer man is disintegrating and perishing, it is then that we discover that the inner treasure can come out and be revealed. But in the 16th verse, he says two things. It says that something is happening on the outside, and the second thing is it says that something is happening on the inside. The first thing he says is that the outer man is wasting away. Now, most of us think this is true with other folks. I mean, you've been around and you've heard people say, would you look at him? Look how old he looks. Would you look at her? She sure is showing age. Well, what I'm trying to say to you today is what you see in others, the same thing is happening to you. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. The same thing you see happening to others is also happening to you. The only way you can keep from going old is to die young. Now, if you don't believe that, when you get home from church today, I dare you to pull out your old high school yearbooks, pull out some of your old wedding pictures, put out some of those old home movies, and you will see the visible evidence of this scriptural truth. You will see that you don't look like you used to look. I mean, I can testify for myself. When I first started preaching, when I was 16, y'all, I'm 45 now. I'm not the young boy I was when I first got started. Why? Because the steady drumbeat of time is beginning to have its impact. And scientists tell us that as they cultivate embryonic tissue, scientists tell us if you live to be 70 years of age that your cells will do 128 billion repair jobs just to keep you going. But they also tell us that one day that those cells will stop reproducing. Now, physiologically and anatomically, we don't know why. But what we do know is that somewhere in the providence of God, God decided that everything on this side of the Garden of Eden will have indelibly stamped upon it, perishing, decaying, and will soon disappear and pass away. In essence, you might be young and vigorous and vibrant today, but I want you to know on your brow is stamped the words decaying, perishing, and passing away. Not only does it happen to our physical person, but it also happens to our mind. I hope some of y'all ain't getting depressed as I'm talking about this, but it'll happen to all of us because there was a time in our youth our minds were like steel traps. I know mine was, and I could actually take it in and I could digest it and hold it and as long as I wanted to hold it, and I could accurately regurgitate it and give it out just the way I took it in. But today, if somebody asks me, who is that, my response is, how soon do you need to know? because we are decaying not only physically, but we also decay mentally, and then we decay emotionally. When we were young, we used to love with white hot passion, and we used to hate vehemently. But the older we get, we become a little more mellow, and we discover what we used to love so passionately and hate so vehemently does not matter as much as it used to matter. And it's all because of the truth of this verse, that the outer man is perishing. But now that's the bad news. Thank God he gives us some good news. Now, he gives the bad news in order to contrast the bad news with the good news. Because look at what he says here. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. He says, now, though the outward man is decaying, listen, he says the secret self. He says the inner self. He says the private self. He says the eternal self. He says the citadel of your soul self. He says the sacred place of yourself, that invisible and eternal self is being renewed day by day. Now, that's enough to shout about. But I've got to qualify that now. He says, now, if you're not in Christ, if you're not in Christ, you are decaying both inside and outside. He said, if you don't belong to the Lord, your inner decay is just a reflection of your outward decay. But if you know Jesus and if you've been born again, if you're walking with the Lord, though your outer man is decaying, your inner man is being renewed day by day. And that is your legs and your back might be bent over and your hair might be white, but there's a new man and a new woman standing up on the inside. Your body might be bent, but your spirit is standing up on the inside. Now, unfortunately, our generation is obsessed with the external. We spend all of our time grooming the outer person, and there's nothing wrong with helping yourself to look good. There's nothing wrong with sprucing yourself up and embellishing what God has given you. I mean, you're not holy because you look like something to catch drug in. You're not holy because you don't comb your hair and fix yourself up. You ought to do the best you can with what you got. We don't minimize physical exercise, and I could use a lot more of that myself, but ultimately you can spend all of your time fixing up this old body, but you need to understand it's nothing but a tent. It's not a house. It's a tent because tents are associated with time and houses are associated with eternity. And I don't care what you can do to it. You can fry it, dye it, lay it to the side. You can exercise it until you're a 110-year-old tennis player, but you ought to spend some time dressing up the inside because whatever you do to the outside, the day will come when time will run you down. And when time runs you down, if you don't have something on the inside, you'll be a 110-year-old tennis player that's nothing but a vacuum of emptiness. You need to spend some time working on the inside. The next thing is the resources for the invisible. Listen, verse 17, listen to what he says. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That's why I love this book. Now, he says, here are the resources for the invisible life. Now, trouble is just as real for the Christian as it is for anybody else. Don't ever think that because you're saved that you'll be exempt from the pains and crisis of this life. The truth of the matter is, the closer you get to Jesus, the more trouble you'll have in this life. Because I've learned you will experience the ostracism of men, you'll experience the attack of Satan, and you'll experience the pain that goes along with redeeming other people. So you will have trouble in this life. So what's the difference between the non-believer and the believer? It's real simple. The difference between a non-believer and a believer is perspective. You see, when you know Jesus, you don't get upset when the outlook is bad because you know the uplook is always good. Look at what Paul says here. Paul says, and I'm amazed by this, he says, momentary, light affliction. Now, perhaps you've seen what is called an anamorphic picture, and you may not have known that's what it's called. Now, an anamorphic picture is a carryover from the Renaissance time. And an anamorphic picture, when you look at it straight on, it looks grotesque. And it's impossible to interpret what it is. But if you turn it over on its edge, it takes on the design of an understandable picture. Head on, it makes no sense. But when you turn it to the edge, it makes sense because you can now understand and see what it is. So let me ask you today. How do you look at your problems? How do you look at pressures that grind you down? How do you look at trouble? How do you look at the hostility of others? How do you look at disappointments? How do you look at people who backbite and undermine you? How do you look at relationships that didn't work out? How do you look at a father that didn't turn out to be what he was supposed to be? How do you look at a mother that didn't provide the nurturing of motherhood? How do you look at racism on your job? How do you look at cancer cells when it comes to you and your family? I tell you, when you look at affliction head on, it looks grotesque. When you look at trouble straight on, it's impossible to understand because it does not go with human logic. But when you turn it over on its edge and look at it edgewise and look at it from eternity's perspective, you can say in the name of Jesus, it's light and momentary. Let me ask y'all a question. How would you like to leave this line today or leave church being able to smile about whatever happens to you? How would you like to leave this line today being able to look at the worst that life throws at you and just scoff at it in the face and be able to say, huh, light and momentary? When people do you wrong, how would you like to have the power to say light and momentary? When hell breaks out in your family, how would you like to say light and momentary? That's what Paul says. Paul says it was light and momentary. But I need to call Paul here before I close, because some of you may not understand the context from which Paul was speaking. Now, Paul, you say that it was light and momentary. Well, now, Paul, listen, I just got this thing about me, that whenever somebody gives me some advice, I want to know how this advice is working in their life. You see, I don't want anybody to theorize. I don't want to listen to a theorician. I want to listen to a practitioner. Now, Paul, how has this been working in your life? Paul says, turn to the 11th chapter of that same book. And here Paul gives us a catalog of catastrophe starting at verse 23. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent in depths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Wow. Paul, what do you mean light and momentary? This is a staggering list. If the truth were known, most of us would just collapse under one of those verses. And yet Paul puts all of this on his shoulders, and Paul says, I've been through all of this. Well, Paul, you've been through this amazing, this catalog of catastrophe. What do you have to say about it? Paul says it was light and momentary. We think affliction is heavy and glory is light, but Paul thought affliction was light and glory was heavy. Paul said, when you look at life from God's perspective, you will know that affliction is temporary while glory is eternal. But when you look at it from a horizontal and human perspective, you get bent all out of shape because you feel like your afflictions will last forever. Paul says, when you look at it from the edge of eternity, it's light and momentary. Well, some of y'all still not understanding. So let me say this, and I'm through. Do you know how a diamond is made? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, God takes common carbon, and he places it way down in the bowels of the earth. And then he allows the temperature to rise to 500 degrees Fahrenheit. And then he allows there to be 1.5 million pounds of pressure per square inch. And then he leaves it in the heat and under the pressure for a long time. And then when God knows it's time, I'm talking about in the fullness of time, God pulls it out, and what started as an ugly common carbon has been transformed into a resplendent, transparent, beautiful diamond. Well, that's what the Lord is doing with you and me. He'll allow you to be under pressure. Sometimes it's pressure you bring on yourself, but a lot of times it's pressure that comes from the Jehovistic hand of God. God places that pressure on your head, and you say, Lord, I'm under pressure. And he says, yes, I know. but I'm making a diamond out of you. You say, Lord, I'm under the heat of difficult situations. He says, yes, I know it, but all I'm trying to do is make a diamond out of you. So what he does, and I'm closing, he takes our bruises and he takes our buffetings. He takes our crisis and our confusion. He takes all of that and places it under his developmental hand, and then it comes up. And then we come forth as pure gold, a diamond unto the Lord. So I just came by to tell you today, don't curse your crisis. Remember, God is blessing you through your buffetings. Notice that he says in the last part of that verse, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen is temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What I'm trying to share with you, the last thing Paul talks about is the revelation of the inevitable. Paul says, things you see now, the day will come, they won't be seen. But the things you cannot see now, one day they will be seen. He said, now that's the inevitable outcome. He comes to the conclusion of the matter. Some people say, I can't trust the Bible because all of this spiritual esoteric talk. They say, well, I need something that makes sense. Paul here gives us both the spiritual and the rational. Paul says, now, the reason why you ought to put your hope in the things that cannot be seen is because we have Jesus. Understand this, my brothers and sisters. The only thing that God is trying to do with you and I is make a diamond out of us. So that's why we go through some of the things that we go through. Don't curse your crisis. Don't give up on God, because God has not given up on you. God bless you as I pass the call.
Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning. God, we thank you for our right mind. God, we thank you for health and strength. Lord, we thank you for just keeping us as we slept through the night. God, we thank you for divine protection. We thank you for your angels that encamped, God, not only outside of our door, but around our bedposts. Lord, we thank you for watching over our children as they slept. God, we thank you for just being protection for all of those that we love and we care about. God, all of those who we couldn't protect, God, and we trust into your care. We thank you for being yet faithful. God, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you, God, for just an opportunity to see another day, another opportunity to worship and praise and adore you, God, another day to declare to a dying world that you are God, and above you there is none other, and that you are a saving and a redeeming God. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness that you continue to show forth. We thank you for mercy, God. There's so much that we can thank you for, all covered under the banner of grace, God. We don't have the words to even say how wonderful and how magnificent and how mighty and how great you are, but we acknowledge that you are God. You are the only living God. You are the true God, and we thank you for that. You are Alpha and Omega. You are our beginning and our end. God, it is in you we live, we move, and we have our being, God. And as we set out on this prayer journey for today, we just take time to reverence your majesty, God. We just take time to magnify you, God, knowing that you are bigger than any problem we may have. You're larger than any circumstances that might be troubling us, God. You're larger than every obstacle that might seem to be in our way. You are God, and above you there is none other. So God, we just take a moment to simply say thank you. God, we thank you for clothes, for food, for shelter, for transportation. Thank you. God, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you, God, that no hurt, harm, or danger came our way. We thank you for holding back the hand of the enemy. God, we thank you for keeping us from tragedy. God, thank you. We just worship you, God. We thank you for a place to even go and worship on today. God, thank you for the creature comforts we enjoy at our home, for beds. God, thank you for blankets. Thank you, God. Hallelujah for TVs. Hallelujah that are distractions. We thank you for choice food. Thank you, God. We thank you for electricity and for running water. Thank you. Hallelujah. We just praise your name, God. You've been better to us, God, than we can even conceive to be to ourselves. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for watching over our neighborhoods, God. We thank you for just being Lord in our lives, God. We thank you for just being Lord in our communities, God. We thank you, oh, God, for just watching over us as we travel to and fro, God. We just thank you for mercy. We thank you for keeping the hand of sickness, God. We thank you for things being as well as they are. We thank you for the encouragement of the word that we received on today. God, we thank you that we have a home in glory that we're preparing for. We thank you, God, that this world is not our home. And we thank you for that knowledge. God, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness towards us. We love and we adore you as I pass the call.
Bless your holy name this morning. Ooh, awesome, awesome, awesome Savior. We just come today, dear Lord, touching and agreeing, dear Lord, on your word. We thank you, Father, for the faith on this morning, dear Lord, that will see us through today. Thanking you today for empowering us, dear Lord, and ordering our thoughts, ordering our footsteps on today. Father God, we come together lifting up to you every person, dear Lord, that we're connected to, every person that you've put in our lives, dear Lord, the unsaved, Father God, people, dear Lord, in our family, dear Lord, our children, our coworkers, our neighbors, and even our enemies today, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for every situation and circumstance in our lives. Thanking you for giving us a heart of God, dear Lord, a heart of love on today. We bless your holy name, dear Lord. We thank you that your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. On today, we thank you for life and that more abundantly. We thank you today that we don't give up on those folks that you have put in our lives, dear Lord. We thank you for every opportunity to share the word of God. I thank you today for just giving us a holy boldness, dear Lord, a boldness, dear Lord. I thank you that we, Father God, are atmosphere changers, that people always see something in us. Thanking you that we always have something positive to say, a word of God, a word to encourage, dear Lord, to uplift, to help, dear Lord, change the lives of others, dear Lord, as we continue to work on ourselves. Thanking you, Father God, that we don't give up on our children, dear Lord, that we don't give up on those coworkers, Father God, that we feel are just irritating us, Father God. I thank you today in the mighty name of Jesus for every opportunity, for every door that's open that we can spread your word, because we are, dear Lord, we are ambassadors for Christ. So on today, thank you for putting those people in our lives. We thank you for constant prayer. I call out to you today, Gilbert Wall, dear Lord. Bless him indeed. I thank you that there is no compromising on today. I thank you, Father God, for total surrender unto you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we continue to pray for him, dear Lord. Hallelujah, for he is a man of God. Hallelujah. Bless him indeed. We thank you for the transformation, dear Lord. We call him out to you today, dear Lord. Have your way with him, total surrender. Break him down, Father God, to bring him back up. We thank you that he would even be inclined to get on the call and share his powerful testimony. We bless his holy name, dear Lord. We bless your holy name today. Bless him indeed. And for any person in our path, dear Lord, I lift up to you every child, dear Lord, connected to this call. Father God, let the parents not worry in the name of Jesus, but let them continue. Let us continue to pray. Father, for you have a purpose and a plan for our children, dear Lord. Plans to prosper them, plans not to harm them, plans to give them a hope for a future. Let us not worry, dear Lord. So we put them in the atmosphere, every child, dear Lord. But I'll call out specifically to you today, dear Lord. Jovan, Dedrick, dear Lord, Deontay, hallelujah, and every child. Bless them indeed. Have your way. We call out Marcel to you today. For those young adults, dear Lord, that are just kind of going through some things, we thank you for covering them. Hallelujah. Brianna, dear Lord, Fredrina, dear Lord, little Fred, dear Lord, Tony. Bless them indeed. We thank you, Father, for directing their paths. We thank you again for no compromising. We thank you, dear Lord, that they're not straddling the fence, dear Lord, but that they are totally into you. Hallelujah. Bless them on today. Father God, I lift up every marriage to you covered on this phone call. I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that absolutely no weapon formed against our marriages shall prosper. Thanking you today that we possess the God kind of marriage, dear Lord, that you called into existence. Thanking you, dear Lord, that the marriage is ordained. I declare and decree, dear Lord, for peace in the atmosphere. Thanking you for another level of love. Thanking you for another level of intimacy, dear Lord. And even as Pastor LaBelle was preaching today, dear Lord, sharing his word. It's not easy, but we got to go through some stuff. But I thank you that we are equipped. I thank you for the diamonds that are being made in the marriages on today. So I lift up to you every marriage, and I'm just led to call out some names, Lord.
Bless the marriages right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you that every woman, dear Lord, is submissive to her husband, and that the man, the husband, has a mind of Christ, that he is truly being led by God, so that we don't have to question, should we do this, should we do that? So thanking you for order in the home, thanking you for the three-strand cord that cannot be broken. Father God, we lift up to you every man of God, every woman of God, Claudio, dear Lord, and Moniquita. Lifting up Marcus and Lauren to you. Hallelujah. We thank you that the enemy, dear Lord, does not have his way in the name of Jesus. We thank you for faith in these marriages. Faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. Lifting up Troy and Monique. Lifting up Prince and Paula. Dennis and Deidre. Jeff and Pretty Patrice. Carl and Tanya, dear Lord. Lifting up Wayne and Barbara, Lonnie and Nala, Maddie and Dee Dee. We thank you for Bill and Tiffany on today, Wayne and Diane, Brian and Sanaya J, dear Lord, Eric and Juliet. We thank you for Marcus and Kawana, dear Lord, Ruth and her husband, Imani and Cedric on today, me, Mary, and LaJuan, David and Yolanda, and bless my marriage, Father God. Continue to bless my marriage, Father God. Fred, dear Lord, and myself, I just thank you today for what you are doing. You are so amazing. We love you this morning. And let us continue, dear Lord, to pray for the hearts and minds of every person, dear Lord, that you put in our path, that our hearts would be softened, that their hearts would be softened to receive your word, that we are able, dear Lord, to do the work, dear Lord, that you called us to do, for we are disciples, and we are called to spread your name amongst the world, dear Lord, throughout the nation. So I thank you again that we are not led by fear, that we are not intimidated, but that we walk with holy boldness on today for every opportunity that we are able to share your word. Open those doors and let us walk through them, not being timid, but being on fire because we trust you, we believe you, dear Lord, and we thank you for just changing our lives on today and changing those people's lives that we run into today. We bless your holy name. We give you praise. We give you honor, and we give you glory as I pass the call.
Oh, yes, good morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for waking each and every one of us on this call, Lord. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the battles, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to go stronger and stronger each day, Lord. We just come to you this morning saying thank you, thanking you for your mercies and your grace, Lord. Thank you for allowing us this time, this second, Lord, this minute, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for each and every person on this call, Lord. Thank you for each and every prayer warrior that went before me, Lord. Thank you for the greeter, Lord. Thank you for the announcer. And most of all, thank you for Pastor Lavelle, Lord, for allowing him to provide that beautiful message this morning, Lord, and remembering that we must hold on and we must fight, Lord, that we have to go through it to get to it, Lord. And to get to it is to get to you, Lord, and your word. For your word, Lord, is your word, and it is bond, Lord, and we thank you. We just thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us, never giving up on us, Lord, even sometimes when we give up on ourselves. So we say this morning to you, thank you. Thank you for everyone connected to this call. I just feel the atmosphere this morning, Lord, and it is an atmosphere of fighting, Lord, fighting in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to continue to pray for our nations and our communities and our leaders and our countries, Lord, for the babies of the world, Lord. Continue, Lord. We ask you to strengthen their minds, Lord, to soften their hearts, Lord, to undo that hardness in their hearts, Father God, and to listen to you, Lord. May we on this line continue to pray and intercede for these babies, Lord, for they do not know, Father, and we must continue to pray for them. Lord, we continue to pray for those who ask for prayer this morning, Lord. We come to you touching out for Marcus and Lauren, Lord. You know what is needed in them. You know what they're asking, and so we call out their name today, Lord. Those who are going back to school, Lord, and who are in school and who are asking for prayer, Lord, for their finals, Lord, give them the tenacity and the wisdom and the will to continue to study, Lord. May all of their studies come to their minds, Lord, and may they find a way that will allow them to grasp the literature and the curriculum that you set before them, Lord, and may their test scores and their finals be A pluses. And we just ask that they take in, Lord, what is put out. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for each and every person on this call and the connections and the ties, Lord, that we have and that we share together. The common ground is you, Lord, and serving you and worshiping you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We just thank you for this day. I know that I'm so grateful, and I know that each and every person on this call is so grateful for today. The now, Lord, please forgive us for our sins, Lord. For we just come to you asking you for repentance of our sins and just thanking you, Lord. Just thanking you, Lord. Oh, something is telling me to just pray for this nation, Lord. Just as a people, Lord, just pray for this nation. Lord, pray for our president and his wife, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Allow them to make the decisions that are of you, Lord, that are of you and not of this world, Lord. We ask you to just pray for the police officers, Lord, our sons, Lord, our sons and our daughters, Lord. Please just continue to allow them to trust in you, Lord. Let us intercede for each and every baby on this line. And when I mean babies, I mean the adolescents, Lord, because they are going astray, Lord, and we need to continue to pray for them, Lord. Pray for all of the children that are graduating, that are going away to college, Lord. We just ask you to keep them safe. We must continue to pray without ceasing for this world, for our children, for our loved ones, for our families, for our friends, Lord. Keep us in you, Lord, so that our prayers will continue to be righteous, Lord. Just continue to bless us, Lord, as we bless you, as we honor you, as we praise you, as we serve you, as we worship you, Lord. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. And as I pass the call on to the next caller, Lord, I pray that you bless this prayer in your son Jesus' name, in his holy name, in his gracious name. Thanking you. Amen, Lord, as I pass the call on to the next prayer warrior.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Chief. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this morning that we have received, Lord Jesus, forgiveness of our sins. We bless you for the shed blood of Jesus, God, and we thank you that it is over our lives and that the banner over us is love, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that we're able to come boldly before your throne, Lord God, where we can obtain mercy this morning. And so, God, we bless you. God, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we recognize your presence. We lift you, Lord Jesus, high above our circumstances and high above every situation, Lord Jesus, this morning. God, we bless you. That you're everywhere, Lord Jesus. There is nothing that gets past you. God, you are the mastermind. God, we thank you that you are intelligible, God. We thank you that we don't serve you in ignorance, Lord Jesus, God. But we bless you for what you have done. And we thank you that before we even open our mouths, God, you already know our petition. God, we thank you for your majesty, the glory, God, of who you are, how you have laid out the heavens, God. We extol you, God. We lift you this morning, Lord Jesus, God. We thank you for your word that went forth this morning, Lord God. And we thank you that We're learning not to curse our crisis, Lord Jesus, God. We bless you. God, in prayer this morning, we thank you for giving us a burden, Lord Jesus, to pray for someone other than ourselves, not to be selfish and not to be so self-centered, Lord God, that we stand by idly and watch things go by, God. But we bless you for the heaviness, Lord Jesus, and the weight, God, of the burden that you have placed in our hearts, Lord God, that we open our mouths and that we cause a meeting between the heavenlies and the earth, Lord Jesus, on behalf of someone else. God, I thank you because somebody prayed for us, Lord Jesus, and we don't even know who it was. But God, we thank you for intercession. God, we thank you for the muscle that it works in us, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that it helps us to be sensitive, Lord Jesus, and it helps us to watch the daily movement in the earth, Lord Jesus. God, whether it's the news, God, or the radio, Lord Jesus, we're in tune to what may be happening, God, and you teach us what to pray, God. And we realize that it isn't even in the tenure, Lord God, of in anyone's voice, Lord Jesus, but it's about our heart, God. And so today, Lord Jesus, our hearts are heavy, and we sense the burden, Lord Jesus, in the earth, God, of how you would have us to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, that you have given us this mandate, Lord. And we bless you, Lord God, that you have put giftings in earthen vessels, Lord Jesus, that are wasting it. So we waste away, God, and we sow so much to beautifying our flesh and, God, strengthening, Lord Jesus, this outer body while it's wasting away. God, we thank you that we know to sow to our spirit, man, that it may be strengthened, that it won't faint, Lord Jesus, in the time of adversity. But, God, I come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and I'm lifting up, Lord God, diplomatic diplomacy, Lord Jesus, God, that the apostolic order, God, be established. The born-again believer in every strategic place will take courage and fight, Lord Jesus. It is you who have taught our hands how to war. You have taught us how to fight, Lord Jesus. It's not about our physical strength, Lord Jesus, but you have taught us how to war, Lord God, that those who are in strategic places, God, who have to fight for diplomacy, Lord, that they fight spiritually, Lord God, that that they will renounce the government that opposes, God, you. God, that they will fight, Lord Jesus, and that they will stay on their knees, Lord Jesus, and that they will rise up, Lord Jesus, God, in your strength, Lord. God, and if they have, and even if they're afraid, Lord Jesus, God, that they'll do it afraid, God, because we thank you that courage doesn't mean that it's absent of fear, Lord God. But I thank you, God, for those who have to fight, Lord Jesus, for democratic diplomacy, God, both on foreign soil and here in the homeland, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that that someone is praying about the United States and China. God, even as the fighting about the waterways, Lord Jesus, and how China wants sovereignty, Lord Jesus, over land, Lord God, and they're busy building, Lord Jesus. God, you know who's there praying, Lord Jesus. Strengthen them now, God, that their heart may not faint, Lord Jesus. God, and I realize that you have, God, put someone in a strategic place, Lord God, to pray specifically, Lord Jesus, for those who are heads of state, Lord Jesus, God, and that the atrocities that happen, Lord God, because people may not agree with what is going on, Lord Jesus, how some come up missing, Lord Jesus, and how families, Lord Jesus, are being torn apart, God, because people are fighting over wealth. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, Lord Jesus, he was convicted, Lord Jesus, to death, God, but I pray for the uprising, Lord Jesus. He's a Muslim extremist, Lord Jesus, but I pray, God, that the uprising that is happening, Lord God, that someone, Lord God, their heart will be changed, Lord Jesus. God, that someone will throw down their weapons, Lord God, and that somebody, Lord Jesus, will see you, Lord God, in all of this. God, help the corrupt judiciary process in our lands. God, Israel wanted a king, Lord Jesus, and they chose Saul, Lord God, when that wasn't even who you wanted, Lord Jesus. They had you, God. But we realize today, Lord Jesus, that people are still being chosen because of the stature, Lord God, their wealth, Lord God, and how tall they are, Lord Jesus, or how they look, Lord God. But I ask right now, Lord Jesus, that that you move in that process, Lord Jesus, and that they don't just fight for democracy, Lord Jesus, but for theocracy, Lord Jesus, that you will be their king, Lord Jesus, and that you will be in the rightful place, Lord Jesus. That is in their heart, God. God, I pray today that the people of God will stand in unity in China, God, that they will understand the mandate on their lives, that the stronghold over the people and that nation will be destroyed. As you, God, even as you did in Korah, if you have to open the earth, Lord Jesus, whatever it is, God, earthquakes, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that in our time of affliction, it drove us to you. It drove us to our knees, Lord Jesus, that we will be in your face, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in China. God, I bless you today, Lord God, for what you are doing, God, that you're restoring health, Lord Jesus, even as our factories, Lord Jesus, are moving to these places because of cheap labor, God. I see, God, that you're working miracles even in that, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that you're healing the lungs, Lord Jesus, that have inhaled the smoke from our factories, Lord Jesus, that have moved there. God, I bless you for the children, Lord God, that were born, God, that could have been deformed. God, I bless you for the ones who are deformed and are still living, God, because of how their big business. God, I bless you today for them. God, and even the Amtrak accident, Lord God, in Philadelphia. Lord Jesus, eight people died and 200 people are missing. God, and even hundreds more, Lord Jesus, were injured. God, help us to slow down. God, this train was going double the speed it was supposed to be going. God, the crew members gone. God, where are we? Check our minds, Lord Jesus. We have to check our minds, Lord Jesus. God, search our hearts that we be mindful of others, not just ourselves. Money won't bring back these lives, God, but keep us mindful of the risk of our jobs, that we are servants who always have to keep in mind the welfare of others, honoring you while we work because that's our duty. Lord Jesus, somewhere, somebody, Lord God, forgot to keep in mind the welfare of the people. Lord Jesus, I bless your name, Lord God, for the weight, Lord Jesus, that you have placed on us. God, we bless you this morning, God. God, I thank you for the women of the Sudan, Lord God, the women who showed up, Lord Jesus, God. I thank you for them this morning, Lord God. And though a lot of them may need medical attention, Lord Jesus, and a lot of them, God, even medical attention for their mental state, Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the babies that will be birthed out of this tragedy that they had to come through, God. But I bless you, Lord God, because you, too, are in the middle of that, Lord God. We look for you, Lord God, even in the difficult places. This morning, Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, that we can see you in the difficult times, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I have walked through some affliction. We have walked through some afflictions, and we see why, Lord God, it built character in us, Lord God. I thank you that it strengthened us, Lord God. I thank you that it built tenacity in us, Lord God. And even at times when we wanted to quit, Lord Jesus, because we couldn't make sense of what it was that we were going through, Lord God, or even the mess that was going on around us, Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you, God, even for the lives that are changing in my community, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for gentrification, Lord God, because it teaches the saints, God, how to get on our knees, Lord Jesus. Stay in your face, Lord God, even though this is not a good thing, Lord Jesus, as we see it, God, but I believe something good is coming out of it, God. I thank you, Lord God, for Richmond this morning. God, I bless you for my community, Lord Jesus, God, because even I can say that I don't hear as many gunshots as I used to. God, I don't see as many drug dealers on the street as I used to, Lord God. I bless you, Lord Jesus. I don't see as many mentally ill on the street as I used to, Lord God. I thank you because sometimes we got to sit down and write it down just to see, God, the status, God, the temperature of the place. God, sometimes we just have to sit down, God, and be quiet and look, Lord God. But you tell us to count it, God, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, God, because I see something good coming out of bad situations. God, and we bless you. God, and we give you the glory this morning, God, for the, having enough sense, Lord Jesus, to give the first part of the day to you. We bless you, God. I thank you for pastors, Lord Jesus, who don't just stay in brick-and-mortar buildings, God, but they choose to go out in the community, Lord Jesus, and take this here gospel to somebody, God, who don't have the wherewithal, Lord Jesus, to come into the church because they may not have any clothing, Lord. They may feel what they have on isn't good enough, Lord Jesus, God, or they may be out there because of being hurt by family members, Lord Jesus, or just don't even believe, God, that you want them. God, I thank you for pastors who have enough sense to take the gospel to the less fortunate. God, you said that we would have the poor amongst us all the time, that they'll always be with us, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that where I worship, we prepare a portion for the poor, for those who are less fortunate. God, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you for pastors who have labored over the word, Lord God. I bless you for pastors, God, who have walked in integrity, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you for pastors who have whose lives have turned around, Lord Jesus. God, who have walked in your way, Lord Jesus, and who have kept your precepts, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you for pastors even who have made mistakes, Lord Jesus, God, and how you have softened their hearts, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made them, God, men of value, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you this morning, God, for them. I thank you for their wives, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord God, that they realize that their first ministry is home, God. I bless you, Lord Jesus, that you trust their wives with their hearts. God, I bless you this morning for their children. God, I thank you for the sacrifice that they made. God, for the time that they've spent away from their families, Lord Jesus, making sure that the people of God are okay. God, and we thank you and we bless you this morning. God, I thank you that today, even as we go to worship, Lord Jesus, God, that we're going to make sure, Lord God, that we decrease that you may increase, that our issues, Lord Jesus, will not be important this morning, Lord Jesus, that you may get the glory, God. And we prepare you a sacrifice of praise, Lord Jesus, God, and that even as we go into your gates, we enter it with thanksgiving and with praise, your courts with praise, Lord Jesus. God, and we thank you. God, even as you're transforming our lives, Lord Jesus, and most of us don't even look or sound like we used to, Lord Jesus. God, and we don't run to the same places that we used to. God, and some of us don't even hang around the people that we used to anymore, God. And sometimes folks don't even want to be around us, God, because you're doing something great and mighty in our lives. God, we thank you that we don't even take any credit this morning, Lord Jesus, because you've given us a comforter. God, I bless you for the Holy Spirit that leads us into all understanding. God, I thank you that he's a revealer. God, and that he's revealed some things to us, Lord Jesus. God, for it doesn't look, for we don't look like what we shall be, Lord God, but in every situation, in every hard trial, Lord Jesus, God, when we see you in it, we'll be like you. God, I thank you that we're walking your word out, Lord Jesus, and day by day we're being conformed into your image. God, we're sanctified while being sanctified. God, we're holy while being holy, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we're seated in heavenly places while we're taking our seat. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the treasure that we have that's set up in the heavenlies, where you said no moth and there's no rust, Lord Jesus. God, so we don't live here like we stay, God, but we're just pilgrims passing through. And even as we take our phones off mute, we're just going to praise God for what he is doing in our lives and how he has prepared time for us, Lord Jesus, and that we have time to get it right.
God,
we
thank
your
you,
name,
God,
God,
for every
God.
Opportunity.
Thank
you, bless
Lord,
your name.
You are, Lord
God. We
God.
Bless you, Lord God,
we
for the weight of glory
name,
that
Lord
you're
God.
Working
thank
in
you.
Our lives, God.
For
we
mercy,
thank you today
God.
For who you are, Lord Jesus, how you're tenderizing our hearts, Lord Jesus, how we don't think like we used to. God, I bless you. God, I thank you. I thank you that I don't have to duck and hide to worship you this morning, Lord Jesus, but I can walk into the household of faith, Lord Jesus, and bless your name this morning and not be afraid, Lord Jesus, that our enemy will come in and kill me. Lord Jesus, the probability of that happening is not probable, but God, I bless you today for the freedom to worship you and to
thank
call
you,
your name, Lord Jesus. God, I thank
God,
you for your word
Lord,
this morning. God, I thank you that I can carry my Bible, Lord Jesus, wherever I go. God, I bless you today. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I don't have to walk
you worthy of the honor.
This morning. God, I bless you.
Lift your name up, Lord God. Hallelujah.
America, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you for the opportunity that you have given me.
God,
help us
my life. Lord
with
God.
Our money, with our time,
Lord
with
God,
our family. God, but to be grateful that we live in these United States of America, Lord God. I thank you for the land of opportunity that you have allowed me to be birthed in. God, to be birthed in. God, we bless you. When we complained about our homes and when we complained about not having enough money, God, when we complained about the product being poor, God, when we complained about the refrigerator breaking down, God, I thank you that we have to live out God's body that we have, the luxuries that we have. God, we bless you this morning. Hallelujah. God, when we complain about our job,
God,
when we complain about our ugly car, Lord Jesus, God, we have money to put a gas in it. God, somebody had to walk to work this morning from God. Lord Jesus, we didn't complain.
God,
we complain because we thought we needed new shoes. God, we're going to go with a family. God, I thank you for beating up our lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you for making us uncomfortable with mediocrity, God. I thank you for making us uncomfortable with low living and low thinking and low talking, God. I thank you for making us uncomfortable.
Sanctifying us, Lord God. You said all things work together for the good.
Thank you for making us uncomfortable when we walked out of your will, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you. Thank you. Had we not been afflicted, God, we wouldn't come to have loved you and known you in the way that we love. We know you today, God. You are our Father, God. And we thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you. Oh, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And you are a consuming fire, Lord God. And we worship accordingly. God, you're burning the things off our lives, Lord Jesus, that will not reveal your reflection. God, we thank you. We thank you. And we're glad that you're not done with us. God, we're glad that you're not done with us. We're glad that you haven't walked, you don't walk away from us. God, we're glad that you don't throw us away. God, we're glad that you don't turn your back on us. We're glad that you don't judge our marriage like everyone else will. God, we're glad that you're not like man. Oh, God, we're glad that you're not even like our earthly fathers. God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you for sharpening our hearing, God, that we can hear you, God, in the faintest of sounds, God, that we can hear you, that we sense your presence. God, I don't have to feel you. I know you're there, God. I thank you that you're maturing us, that we don't have to feel your presence, but we know your presence. God, we bless you.
Pray for my final.
We bless you for transforming our minds, Lord Jesus. God, we could have been swatting flies and pushing the cart, God. And some are still not that far from it, God, but we bless you. God, we thank you for the edge, Lord Jesus. How you hold us. Ooh, like the trees of Lebanon, God, that build. That bend, Lord Jesus, and that are on places, high ledges, God, that bend and flex in the wind. God, I thank you that we didn't break. God, I thank you someone on the call didn't break, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made the difference. You made the difference in our lives, Lord God.
Yes.
You have made the difference in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. That you're stretching our faith to meet your miracle, Lord Jesus. Someone needs a miracle, Lord God. Oh, my God. Someone needs a miracle. God has an urgency. Lord Jesus. God, dispatch your angels there right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you. God, thank you.
We bless your name.
I count God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're a mind regulator. God, you're a mind regulator. And you don't require that we make sense of stuff. But when our hearts are overwhelmed, we're led to come to you. Yes, you are our plumb line. You are our stability.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you.
The great intercessor. God, I thank you for interceding on our behalf. When we don't know what to pray, we thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God.
Bless your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answered prayer. Thank you, God, for answered prayer. Thank you, God, for answered prayer. Thank you, God. We bless your name this morning. And we give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. Well, we won't give anything to you that didn't cost us anything. God, I gladly give you my morning. I gladly give you my morning because of all you give. We gladly give you. We gladly give up our sleep, God, to recognize your presence. God, to adore you and to lift you. We gladly. We give you the glory. And we give you all the honor. All these prayers. No. We prayed in your name. For there's no other God we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's our pastor call.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ravonda. Thank everyone that prayed this morning. Do we have any first-time callers on the line that would like to say good morning to us? Any first-time callers? No? All right. Is there anyone that didn't get a chance to say good morning that joined the call late? Now is your time. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Deborah Louise.
Sister Deborah Louise, and that was who else?
Tiffany.
Good morning, Miss Tiffany.
Good morning.
Anyone else?
Hey, Arletha Renee, I didn't get a chance to say good morning to everyone. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Arletha Renee.
Good morning. Good morning, it's Janet.
Good morning, Miss Janet.
Good morning, this is Valuable Valley.
Good morning. That was someone else after Valuable Val. Who was that?
Tanya. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Tanya. Anyone else?
Good morning, family. This is Ruth.
Hey, Ruth. I got some fish for you.
Yeah, well, come on. Bring it on. What kind you got?
I got bluegill. I got bass. Boy, I think I put on a clinic.
Oh, bass. I love bass. I got some fresh grease.
I was with my preacher, and I just got tired. We caught so many fish, I said, man, I quit. He said, Pastor, no. I said, man, we got over 50 fish.
drop it off tomorrow when you come to sack.
Anyone else want to say good morning? All right. If not, amen. Was there anyone that caught anything in the declaration that you want to comment on? Anybody have an aha moment? Because I got a couple when I looked at that scripture. Anybody? I find that kind of funny. Maybe you just don't want to share.
Hey, Pastor Lavelle, this is Tanya. I absolutely did have an aha moment. I absolutely refuse to share it with you, though, because I'm going to make a declaration out of it. God bless your heart.
Yeah, okay. All right. Just give me credit. You know, give me credit for it. All right. Anyone else before I share? Because I just shared with Lisa Porter a few minutes ago. I said to her, "What is baffling to me was that when I tried to make it simple to give the bad side and then give the good side, I said I'm amazed by how much Paul went through, and yet he said it's light and momentary, but we complain about." We complain about everything. You ever hear somebody, they want you to pray for everything. I mean, if they stub their toe, oh, pray for me. Oh, pray for me. Oh, if they do this, they go through that. Oh, pray for me. Oh, pray for me. Paul literally went through what I call the catalog of catastrophe, and yet he said it was light and momentary. A lot of us think affliction is going to last forever, but affliction is not going to last forever. It's momentary. And then the truth, it reveals the truth behind Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. So my question is, why do we complain? Why do we always find something to complain about? Anybody? Nobody, huh? Nobody know why we complain?
This is Valerie. I think we complain because it's easier sometimes to complain than actually doing the necessary work to get through whatever we're going through. You know, I think we're spoiled. It's just like children, you know, you tell them to do something or they're going through something and they sometimes want to whine and roll on the floor and do everything but do what they need to do to get through what they need to get through. And as adults, we do the same thing because it's easier. My thoughts.
Wow, I like that, Val. I like that. You know, have y'all ever noticed, and I think it was Sabrina and then Ravonna came back and she, as they were praying, you know, we don't thank God for the little things. I think Sabrina called it the creature comforts of simply running water. Do y'all understand that there's folks in foreign countries who don't have no kind of water, no shoes. I got a California king size bed that I sleep in every night. You know, and I've got the perfect amenities of my house and all of that. And yet we always, and some of y'all, some of us live high on the hog, and yet there's some people who don't have anything, but yet we always find a reason to complain. We always find a reason to complain. The Bible says one thing that God hates a proud look. What makes you proud? Is it your pedigree? Are you proud of who your parents are, doctor and sister so-and-so? Are you proud that you were able to go to college and now you got a degree and now you're making good money, or whatever the case may be? Let me remind you, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. In essence, we have no reason to be proud, but we have every reason to be thankful. So if you was able to go to school and now you're doing good and all that, you ought to thank the Lord. So I think that's very, very important, y'all, that we miss some things because of the things that we may go through or whatnot, when we need to really be praising God. Paul saw all of the stuff that he went through in the midst of prison and everything, but yet he's shouting about it. He's totally shouting about it. And those of you that are on the Bible study call this week on Tuesday night, you'll understand something else about Paul. Paul was caught between the fact of leaving the church and going to heaven with Jesus. He said he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. You know, he said, whatever he did is still going to be a blessing. It's still going to be gain, regardless of what it was that if the Lord called him home or if he stayed with the church. So my question to you, and my statements, I guess, is what I'm saying is how do you look at your problems? How do you look at affliction in your life? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with a mother who didn't provide the true nurturing of motherhood? How do you deal with those of you who have who've had cancer cells come through your body? How do you look at a father who didn't raise you like he was supposed to? How do you look at racism on your job? How do you look at those things? Y'all gonna make me work this morning, ain't you?
Brother Lavelle.
Yes.
Good morning. This is Ruth. I just finished reading Philippians the other day, and I just want to share this. I know my voice is all scratchy. I got a cold. But I have learned to realize and be grateful just for life, period, and embrace, because I've been, you know, I've had it, and I haven't had it. And I've learned that it could be the good times and the bad times all at the same time. But I wanted to read this Philippians, and it's 4, let's see, chapter 4, verse 11, and it just stuck with me. It says, now that I was never in need, for I have learned how to get along happy, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And I can relate to that. Just even in my current situation, being able to just embrace each moment of my life, because none of us know when we'll take our last breath. And so I've learned to be humble in situations, and I've learned to, you know, just be grateful. And just be grateful for the air that I'm breathing. And so, I mean, that's it. Just be grateful for life, no matter what. And the things don't matter. I have learned that only what we do for Christ lasts. You know, things, tangible things, you know, I tell my kids, because they say, Mom, when are you going to drive your Mercedes again? That means nothing to me right now. Because if I had enough sense when I bought it, I would have bought me a Metro 4, did something, you know, that would have lasted longer. you know, and I can't, I don't beat myself up about it no more because I used to get angry about it. I'm like, who would buy a $70,000 car for real? And then it'd be valued 10 years later at less than half of what you paid for it. It didn't matter. But I know what I have now. I still have the same word that I had when I bought that car that I have now that God gave me. I still have that same word because His word never changes. Never changes. So I'm more wiser now. So if I had that opportunity, that kind of money, you know, if I get it again, I know what to do with it.
Right, right. Great share, Ruth. So
I'm just grateful for life.
Amen.
And I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for you guys because I hear y'all cheering in the background for me. And I ask you guys to keep me in prayer because my date is coming up very soon. And so I'm asking you guys just to keep me in prayer. Please, your sincere prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. You know, I find myself complaining too. My prayer is, Lord, don't let the phone stop ringing. Don't let the phone stop ringing. And I kind of post it all the time. Today I've got to preach three times today, and y'all, I'm literally tired. And even though I've been on vacation this week and stuff, I'm literally tired. And when I leave here, I got to go preach and then to San Leandro, and then run to Berkeley and preach again. Actually, really four messages today, and I'm complaining, but I forget I asked God for it. I really asked God for it. So you even need to be careful what you pray for, you know, and then when God blesses you with it, then you complain about it, you know. So I also talked about, and I'm surprised nobody asked this question, about an anamorphic picture, what an anamorphic picture is. Maybe you need to look it up when you get a chance. What I was saying is that it's a carryover from the Renaissance day, the Renaissance time, and when you look at it straight on, it makes no sense. It looks grotesque. And my question to you, when you look at your problems and stuff, I mean, we talked about giving a few weeks ago, tithing and stuff. Sometimes God tells us to do stuff that don't make no sense. Straight up, it make no sense. Sometimes He tells you to love those that you know can't stand you. With human logic, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Taking food to folks' house that you know don't like you, or continue to speaking to folks know don't care nothing about you, straight ahead, it makes no sense. But when you turn it over edgewise, then it begins to make sense because there's a purpose behind it. And so when you look at your situations and look at all that you've been through or what you're going through, when you look at it straight on, you can't understand it. It doesn't line up with human logic. But when you look at it from eternity's perspective, when you look at it from God's perspective, you can say just like Paul. Paul said, light and momentary. I'm in jail. But guess what? It's light and it's momentary. Paul, what are you talking about? Paul writes letters to the church talking about, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Paul, that don't fit. That don't make sense. You're not a prisoner of the Lord. You're in Nero's jail. You're under Roman jurisdiction. And yet here you are in a dark, dingy dungeon right in the church talking about, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. What are you talking about, Paul? Paul is simply saying that no matter what folks say about me, no matter where I am, no matter what I go through, I know who I am, but most of all, I know whose I am. So I don't know if y'all noticed, but I'm really looking at the life of the Apostle Paul and my declarations and my Bible studies and stuff, looking at his life and how we complain and how Paul is able to deal with all of this. And understand, Paul didn't have the amenities that we have today. Paul didn't have cars. He didn't have none of that, you know. I mean, but yet he was able to look at every situation that he went through and said it was light and momentary. So my question to you is, how do you look at affliction? How do you look at stuff going on in your life? Did you complain about it?
This is pretty, Patrice.
Go ahead, pretty Patrice.
When it first happens, I feel real uncomfortable, and I wonder why. But I know that if God brings me to it, he's going to bring me to it, whatever it is. Then I get grateful that I have the strength to go through. But it's not always comfortable at first, and I think we complain because we're not grateful. That's my take.
Wow. Wow. Praise God. We're ungrateful. Anyone else?
This is Valerie again. Great declaration, Pastor. I think, and you said it. You know, fixing our eyes on what is seen, not fixing our eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. You know, so the things that are happening most of the time, temporary. So if you look at it as being temporary, understanding, I'm gonna come out of this. This too shall pass, and it's finding that joy that, yes, the more that we develop our relationship with Christ, the more a lot of things don't matter. You know, again, like Ruth said, you know, what we have, what we don't have. So many things, because life is so precious, and we have to understand the real purpose of why we're here. And I shared with Dion yesterday, again, being grateful for life. And we when we're on this prayer call and you know, people are praying, and we're praying for the fact that we woke up, that we could use our limbs, that we could brush our teeth, that we could do this and that. And I've seen a friend of mine, not really a friend, but someone that I know, the last time I seen him, he was walking. He was, you know, doing everything that I do. And now he's in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down. And he was like, but, you know, I'm still alive. And he's still alive. Now, sure, he may not be able to do some things that he used to do, but he's still alive. And I don't know his relationship with Christ. I don't know what it was previously, you know. But understanding that was an opportunity for me to talk to him about God and to be grateful and to look at my life a little more to appreciate it. And I understand that when people that we're connected to, when people die, when people go through things, I believe that it gives us a chance to look at our lives and evaluate it and say, wow, you know, because we do complain. We do complain, but life is so precious. And to understand nothing belongs to us. What we have is to share, to give, and that's, you know, with our gifts and with our talents is just really deep. So, again, just understanding that things are temporary, you know, we look at stuff and we blow it all out of proportion, but truly, we're alive. Be grateful. Be grateful for every material thing that we don't deserve because somebody has a little less. And then when we're fortunate enough to have more, help somebody else. It's just so many, I think it's just a lot of great, great things to think about and lots of conversations that could definitely come out of your declaration, so thank you.
You know what, Val? Mama used to say we'd be crying with a loaf of bread under our arms. we got a loaf of bread under our arms, but we crying. You know, I have some colleagues. I'm not gonna call them friends. I have some colleagues that I talk to, and they complain about their marriage, their spouse, and this and that. And I'm sitting here wondering, wow, I wish I could have a wife. And yet you're complaining about the one you have. You know, I mean, wow. You know, and then Jones, if I was you, man, if I was single, man, I'd be doing this, I'd be doing that. You know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that might have been true. But when you think about, I often say this, that integrity didn't mean anything to me back then, but it means everything to me today. You know, back then it would have been okay. But I'm sitting here praying for what you do have. You know, that God would bless me with that. You know, but yet we complain about what we have, what we don't have and stuff. So anybody else want to share? Anybody else? Some of y'all think your affliction is going to last forever. Some of y'all have been dealing with stuff, and you don't know when God is going to move. You don't know what he's going to do. You've been praying for something, and God ain't moved yet. And to tell you the truth, it's bothering you. because you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know how he's going to work it out. You don't know how he's going to bring you through. You're afflicted by something right now. But
okay, I got one more thing to say, then I'm going to shut up.
Go ahead, Val. No, that's all right. Go ahead.
I just think, you know, so God knew. He already knew what families we needed to be in, the things that we were going to endure, because that's what he chose us to go through, right? So in the end, it's all love. You know, like we got to love one another. We have to love one another because there are just things that need to come out of us, you know, different characteristics, so things we need to get rid of. So in the end, it's all love. God is love. So, we, you know, it, to me it just makes me think, don't complain about the people. You know, like you said, the person, how we complain about our spouse or whatever. Be grateful. Be thankful. You know, God, show me how to love my spouse. Show me how to love my children, because, I mean, I love them, but sometimes they get on my nerves, or whatever the case is, your coworkers, whatever the case is. That's how we conquer some things, you know, it's love. And, again, it's, you know, going back to James 1, consider it pure joy when we face trials and tribulations of many kinds, because it's developing who God has called us to be. You know, we got to go through some stuff so we can be who he called us to be in this life. We're still here because there's some business that still needs to be done, but we don't want to go through the stuff so we can be who he called us to be, and so we can do what he called us to do. You know, until we get it right. I mean, you know, we're still here. We got work to do. And it doesn't mean it feels good, but it's all possible. All things are possible through Christ Jesus. We just, you know, we say it, but we got to believe it. And just say, okay, I can get through this. And God's going to, you know, he's going to send us those people to encourage us. He's going to send us a word. He's going to make a way when we truly want it, when we truly desire it, when we truly say, you know what, it don't feel good, like Patricia was saying, it don't feel good, but you know what, I can make it through because of God's love for me.
Wow. Sometimes God takes his big jihadistic hand and he places it over our brow, over our head. And y'all, sometimes we feel like we can't understand or we can't take the pressure of what he's doing in our lives. But there's a purpose behind what God is doing in your life, but you got to be able to see it with the eyes of your heart. I'm going to deal with that next week, the eyes of your heart. Today we're seeing invisible things, but next week I'm going to deal with seeing with the eyes of your heart, because you've got to have soul eyes. You've got to see it from God's perspective of what he's trying to do. And a lot of times, y'all, we are blinded by what I like to call the cataracts of carnality, because we see it from a worldly perspective. But stop seeing it from your eyes. Start seeing it from the developmental hand of God, of what God is trying to do in your life. You know, you wonder why you don't have the friends you used to have or whatnot. There's some things that God needs to move out of your life in order to get you closer to him.
Pastor Bill?
Yes?
Hi, this is Deborah Yvonne. I'd like to say something short. I hope I'm on track, too. But for me, I have really come to the knowledge of that it's not about me. It really isn't. And when I go through things, I have to constantly remind myself that God has already wrote the script, that he knows the end at the beginning. So a lot of times, like you said about the blindness, we don't know why we have to go through different things. But in all actuality, we have to trust God because he knows the end. He's trying to get us to a place. And I found out in my life that the more that I just relax, trust in him, rest in him, he's going to get me there. And he's going to take care of the situation because I can only do my part, and then I let God do his part. And every time I do that, God always comes through. But I think the key is that we can't always try to understand why. We just have to learn to be obedient to the Lord and trust him, because he's not going to show us the whole picture. He's never going to show us the whole picture, but he's always going to want us to do what is the last thing he told us to do, and that goes with us trusting him and believing his word. And we have to stand on his word in the invisible world. And that's what has worked for me. I hope I answered your question. Thank you.
Wow, I like that. I like that. So then my question is, if you're saying that, Deborah Yvonne, then where does faith come in at? If we need a roadmap to see everything, then where's your faith? You'll never develop faith if you've got to see everything that's going on or what have you. You'll never lean and depend on God because your faith will never come into action. And that's what God is trying to get us to do, y'all. Literally use our faith. We talk about all the time. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, all right, I hear y'all. I totally understand what y'all saying and stuff and all of that, but are you really exercising that faith? Are you really exercising your faith? Or are you just saying it because it sounds good? Because a lot of things sound good, you know. I'm just under the impression, y'all, our people don't need a new word. I hear people talk about, oh, I need a word. Oh, I need a word. You don't need no new word. You need to stop fooling yourself and telling folks, oh, I need a word. I need a word. No, Paul in 1 Corinthians, again, thank you, Paul. Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he first went to Corinthians, y'all, he found the people who were morally and spiritually bankrupt, people who were spending themselves in sin, people who were living without purpose. You know, they were, in every sense of the word, what I like to call a prodigal people. But they weren't prodigal because they're lost, but they are prodigal because they are lost. Because when you read the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, you'll discover that in Luke 15, there's only one parable, and that's the parable of lostness. But three pictures of lostness painted in the parable is what I'm saying. And so when he went there, he told them, I'm sorry, I'm trying to open the church. He told them some things that was important for their survival. And they really didn't understand, and Paul kind of got frustrated with them because Paul told them that in that first chapter that you've been enriched. He said you got wealth. He said you loaded and you don't even know it. He said you got blessings that God is waiting to pour in your life, but you haven't received it because you don't know what's being offered. That's what he said to them. And then he went on and said to them, and that's why I'm saying our people don't need a new word. The truth is, y'all, as I preach, as I teach, it's not new stuff. It may be new to you because you haven't heard it, but we don't need a new word. We don't even need another sermon. What we need to do is to begin living up to the truth that we already have. In essence, y'all, we know what we ought to be doing, but we ain't doing it. We know how it ought to be ran, but we ain't run it the way it ought to be ran. Paul says you got utterance and understanding. Read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when you get a chance. He said you got utterance and understanding. My mama used to say it to me this way, boy, you know better. And if you know better, you ought to do better. So we don't need nothing new. We need to begin living up to what we already have. Anybody else, y'all, because I'm going to close out because I've got to get some things done. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share?
Yes. Okay, I lied on the prayer call. One more thing before you close. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So back to what you said, not believing that we need a new word, I'm in total agreement with that. It boils down to us truly seeking God and believing what his word says. Then when we're going through these things, we know that we can stand on his word because he said so. And then staying excited and expectant, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not yet see. So, God, I don't like this. It don't feel good, but I am excited. I'm going to praise you, and you're going to blow my mind. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And I know for a fact every single thing that I have gone through, that I'm going through, I stay excited. I get excited, and I'm not saying I don't fall short. I'm a human being, but when I get back on track, it's good because he don't never let us down. And if you got to believe that. And he does it all the time, but you got to stay excited and have that faith.
Wow. Wow. All right. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Nope. All right. If there is not another, I am going to close right here and say that you all have a wonderful day in the Lord. I'm going to ask that you pray for me as I stand to share my convictions about our Christ today. And I hope you all have a great day in the Lord yourself. And I will hopefully see y'all, hear y'all on the call in the morning, all right? Have a great day. I love you. Also, don't forget the Bible study. I want to thank Sister Erica Evans. She did the new poster for the Bible study on Tuesday night. So look for that today, tomorrow. I'd love to hear from you on Tuesday night on the Bible study. As we study God's word, all right? So you all have a wonderful day. Go to worship. When you worship, make sure you worship. Because
yes,
remember,
yes.
I say every week, make sure you see God in the worship. Because if you don't see Jesus in the worship, remember, you have not worshiped.
Not worship.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless everyone.
All
have
right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.